Allah. Scientific Hall on Wednesday, September 14th, 2016. We establish quorum.
Martinez present.
Kathy Agin present.
Karen Ward present.
Dennis Scott present.
Very sure. At this time, we have the Pledge of Allegiance. And that time, we have the Pledge of Allegiance.
That's the last time I can do anything.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There is an added agenda item, Mr. Mayor. Update on the SLED or SLED. Yes.
Can you hear me back there? Okay. Is there a motion or is there a discussion on the consent agenda?
Mr. Mayor, I need to state a conflict of interest with a bill payable to the bill of that Wilderness Garbage Company.
Thank you. So noted in the record. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And I need to remove myself from the vote, sir.
Ah. It's approved unanimously with one abstention. And at this time, we will have public comment. I understand we have a couple of gentlemen from the fire department who want to say a few words. If you'd state your name and residence, please.
Sure.
Thank you, Bob.
Good evening, Mayor Mullenix and members of the council. My name is Bob Denham. I'm with the Pine Rural Fire Protection District on the Board of Directors, elected position number 4. I'd like to address you this evening in regards to the beautification and landscaping of the swale and the surrounding area in front of Fire Station 101. That's obviously the corner of 101, or Huntington and First Street. We received an email with prior discussion from the Deschutes County Road Department Director, Chris Doty. That email is dated August 30th, 2016. We have that on file. It is stated in part they have been in contact with Little River Landscaping to design a green concept for the landscaping of the area due to the fact that this area is owned by the county as an easement. Plan does not involve a ground irrigation system. The plan has been provided to us, and I've provided you a copy as well. And I apologize for the very tiny print. I couldn't. Little River has also agreed to voluntarily maintain the landscaping for at least 2 years. They're also working with other local groups for maintenance assistance as well. And we also have firemen that are willing to take that on as needed or very, very part-time basis, mowing, things like that. If this is not a direction the city would like to go, then the county would look at something non-irrigated. It won't have the same degree of beautification. It would be more of a desert landscape. From the road department's perspective, they're willing to fund construction of the beautification, but do not want ongoing maintenance costs or responsibilities, other than what I mentioned earlier for the 2 years. Therefore, water and maintenance are the county's only concerns. The cost estimate at this point is $14,000, but they feel that may be a little aggressive, and they're willing to pare that back a little bit. That's their cost, not ours. Our board of directors met this last Thursday, September 9th, and approved of the concept that you have in front of you. We're now looking forward to the city and city manager's review and thoughts, especially for your review and thoughts, especially with the irrigation and lawn maintenance. We're hoping that this can be something similar and possibly coordinated with the other recent road frontage improvements in our local area down First Street and 97. We're hoping the city will partner with us and put in an irrigation-only supply and meter to help the project. Our district cannot afford the water when it is also tied to sewer fees. Not too long ago, the city raised our water and sewer rate 900%, but lowered it to 150% after back and forth discussions and reduction in the size of our water meter. We gave up our larger meter for a smaller one via the city at a cost to us of $400, and we would also like to get that meter back, the larger meter. Now the rates are going up yet again. Between water and sewer combination, that's 13% a year for the next 3 years for a total of another 39% increase. In support of urban renewal and the urban renewal project, we're willing to do our part, but we do need to
help. Bob, I'd like to ask you to help me out here. Public comments, a short period of time. I'd like to recommend that you schedule this through the city manager to come back at a work session. And where we'd all be able to sit around the table and talk about each item. I think we'd get further and have a better understanding, and you'd go away with a better answer or a better feeling of how the council and the city wants to work. If that's agreeable with you.
I have absolutely no problem with that. In fact, we're looking forward for something just like that.
Okay.
My concern this evening was to bring it to your attention.
I appreciate you doing that, and we've got a map, and I personally like the looks of it, so we'll hopefully see you shortly in a work session. Thank you very much.
By the way, I had just finished.
You contract out.
Why contract out?
Thank you, Bob. So item number 7 on the agenda is a request from the city to fund 10% of the business retention and expansion program. I'm assuming that is for the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, I think we should invite Ann Gaywith, Chamber Director, up and hear, and, oh, excuse me, and Dan as well.
Yeah, representing RDI and the Chamber. We're here to answer questions with regard, my name, Ann Gaywith, director of the Lapine Chamber, Lapine resident, and
I'm Dan Varco, and I serve on the Business Vitality Team Pines Economic Development, or Economic Roadmap, that we started a year and a half or so ago, and I'm also with RDI, Rural Development Initiatives.
So you, I think most of you are aware of the of this program that was born out of our Business Vitality Group, brought to us by RDI, the Business retention and expansion program. We are thrilled that RDI would come to the community of Lapine and to the Lapine Chamber to present this this project. It's only been done a couple of times in the state of Oregon, in Vineta and the Dalles. And basically what it is a way for us to support our businesses in the community by connecting with them on a one-on-one basis, finding out what some of their issues and their the challenges that they're facing and that sort of thing, and then with the resources of RDI maybe be able to help them through whatever struggles they're going through, or they need to expand but don't know quite how. There's just any number of scenarios, and RDI has a list of resources to help us with that. So I'm going to let Dan talk a little bit about how the program came about with RDI and how it benefited the other communities.
Sure. So the program is just like it says, you know, business retention and expansion. And a couple of things that are real appealing to me about the BR&E program is that there's five things that kind of stand out. One is that 80% of net new jobs created are by existing firms. If there's a way that we can help our existing businesses create jobs, it's an easier task than going out and bringing a new business to town and trying to have them create jobs. Businesses have invested in our community. If there's a business here, they have said, we want to be a part of the community. We're going to invest in it. We're going to do whatever it takes. And, of course, their goal is to make a profit. But in the process, they're investing in our community. And BR&E is a way for us to show them that we are aware that they're there, that we support them, and we want to help them adopt better business practices, the best business practices they can, and actually be profitable and be a good contributor to the community. It's interesting that a lot of the work that we do has to do with nonprofit agencies in when businesses are really what supports the nonprofits. Businesses don't get a whole lot of help. Nonprofits do. Business attraction. If we have a strong business sector, that's going to attract more businesses. People like to go where there's success. Some examples of that is what's happening right now. We're on the map. Lapine is a happening place. There was an event in Idaho recently where Lapine stood out because of the resource forum that we had about a year ago. They were talking about how did that happen? How did that come about? How did you connect with all those resources in one room? And it was like an auction there. We had some needs and people were putting their hands up. I think we have a source. We have a source. When you start getting on the map and you're the word gets around the state and beyond the state that you have a good business environment, it attracts other businesses. And so that's a reason why BR&E is a desirable thing to do. It helps the business climate. And this is a way that we can, it's more cost effective to work with existing businesses and go out and get other ones. Kind of like we were talking about, and this is not necessarily traded sector, probably not even traded sector, but it's a lot more effective to spend a few dollars to help your existing businesses create more revenue, more taxes being paid than it is to go out and try to get new ones. So there's lots of benefits. This came about because we chose three different paths on our economic vitality roadmaps that the community wanted to go on. One was beautification, which the fireman mentioned already. We want to put the shine on Lapine. And then the other one was our branding, our image development, which we're a long ways down the road on the branding side of things. And the resources for that came out of the resource forum that was put together by RDI. And we got the dollars for that because we came together as a community and said, we want to do something. We want to stand out and have a better image for ourselves, but also for those outside. The third one was business vitality. We wanted our community to have stronger business vitality. So in the process of seeking things, we looked at an incubator, and we looked at doing, we're in the process of offering training, you know, like customer service training and a variety of adult education type training in coordination with the Park and Rec Department and COCC. There are several other things that we were doing, but when BR&E, Business Retention Expansion, came along, it seemed like this was a way to really move forward our plans for improving the business climate in Lapine. Michael Held, who is the manager of this program with RDI, came over and made a presentation, and the group said, yes, this sounds good, but we need a group that will take it on. We need an organization that will be responsible to make sure it's successful and sustainable. It's a minimum of a one-year program, but it could be a two-year program. Has a good chance of being sustainable if we have a good organization behind it. Well, it just happens to be that this could be a great tool in the toolbox for the Lapine Chamber of Commerce. The Lapine Chamber of Commerce agreed to take on the lead of this, but that also brought a responsibility. The funder is USDA. It's a federal funder, U.S. Department of Agriculture. They're funding 90% of it, but they want to see somebody locally match that. So the chamber has a responsibility of doing that, but they want to come from the local community. And so that's why we're here asking the city if they would help with those dollars. So we're asking for $2,500, right? And that will go to finish out the cost. Now, there is additional cost the chamber's going to have just for manpower, for staffing, to help lead this on. RDI is going to help see that we can find funding from other sources for that. They're probably going to put a staff person on part-time to help manage the program, and so RDI is going to help with that. So overall, it's going to be about a $35,000 program. Right now, we're looking at $25,000 with the initial costs, including the USDA and hopefully grant from the city. Any questions?
I don't want to start.
We're in motion, and did you all get one of these? This is kind of a roadmap that may be a little bit hard to follow, but there's a point in here where it says, I'm in 16. Okay, 16. It's been initiated. In order to get it started, there had to be letters of support from people in the community, and there was six or seven local community leaders who submitted letters and saying, yes, we think this is a good thing. We want to see that happen. That had to happen before USDA would look at funding. It had to happen before RDI would accept an agreement, you know, a MOU. And that started in, looking at this quickly, right here at the top in June 2016, if you look at that block, Business Retention Expansion Program application is accepted and moving forward. So it started there. It'll continue on for at least a year, at least into June of next year. But most likely, at least portions of it will go beyond that.
The immediate time frame right now, we have the volunteer training set up. We're actively looking for volunteers. The plan is to have these volunteers out into the community doing the interviewing and have that completed by the end of the year, by the first of the year. So we're moving along quite quickly right now.
So basically, this is a one-time request, okay? And it sounds like to me a lot of the money is going to go toward the people that teach the program to help the people enhance their business.
Right. RDI will do the training of the volunteers, make sure that all of that is cohesive. They also will take all of the data that it comes out of the interviews and compile it, and then take that information. If there's a business in particular that has an issue they can help with, they're going to sit down with that business and try. challenges are. So the, yeah, so RDI is doing a huge piece of this in as far as their staffing and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Me, I've got a couple. So the chamber will manage the program after the training?
Yes. Yes, and we'll track the volunteers that are going out doing the interviews. We'll keep track of that piece of it. The information will come to us, and we will pass it on to RDI if they're doing the data sheets and that sort of thing.
Is the data collection and quantification already in place, or I mean, is that already understood? I mean, there's already been a couple of these done in the state, so they must know that you've got some kind of outline and we ask these kind of questions and get this kind of data.
Of course, they're going to make the questions specific to Lapine and to our area. And they've learned a lot by doing the Vanita and the Dalles of what questions work and what don't, because they have a sense of the information they want at the end of the day, and so what kinds of questions are going to give them those kinds of answers. So
how many volunteers total are there going to be?
We're hoping to get 20 volunteers. We have 10 committed from the business class and FBLA from the high school. The new teacher there at the business class has committed 10 of his students. We want to match those students with at least 10 members of the community so that we can send them out as partners, a student and a community member, to do the interviewing.
So you say there's 10 from the FBLA?
Yeah, FBLA and the business class.
And do you have any from the...
We do. We probably have 6 confirmed volunteers. We're looking for more. The more volunteers we have, the more businesses we can go to. We are trying to do a minimum of 40. We hope to do 60. The more volunteers we have, the more we can do.
Who will be doing the 101s, these volunteers? Okay.
Yes, they'll do the training session, the 3-hour training, so that they know how to approach the interview process and ask the questions and kind of steer people to the information that we need, that we want.
How will you know if the outcome has been worth it? How will you know if it's been successful? What kind of measuring do you have for it?
Well, all I can go by is some of the success stories out of the other two that they've done. And there have been a couple of businesses, totally different things. One was a transition where older owners wanted to transition the business to the kids and just weren't quite sure how to make that happen. And RDI was able to help them with that, get them some resources. Another one was... wanting to sell and wanting to close the business, but didn't want to close the doors. They wanted to try to find somebody to buy. It was an odd kind of business. And as it happened, RDI was able to, through their contacts throughout the state, able to find someone to come in and take over the business. So I think from what Michael Held has said, if there's one business out of this group of 40 or 60 that we can help and keep them in business or get them the money they need or the resource they need to stay in business, then it's been a success. So.
Michael Helden is with RDI?
Helden, yeah.
Helden. In looking at the application, the request is $2,500 and in-kind amount is $25,000. And yet you say USDA is doing 90% funding, and if it's in kind, what is their funding mechanism? I mean, you're saying it's in kind, $25,000. Is USDA putting up the money or $25,000?
Well, they're doing the entire cost of the program is $25,000, so I may not have filled that out quite correctly. $25,000 for this piece of the program. And USDA is funding 90% of that, and they're asking us to fund the 10%.
Well, we're not the only ones putting money into it. USDA is putting money
Correct.
Into it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It just read in kind, and
I
didn't know if that was hammers and nails and pencils. And, okay.
No actual cash.
That's all I have. Kathy?
Is the chamber putting any monetary, or is it also in kind as far as getting this?
Well, I suppose, you know, our volunteers and some staffing. Certainly, I've spent hours on it, as well as other members of our staff, doing clerical things. And volunteers, the six confirmed volunteers that we have for the program are made up of our volunteers that work at the chamber on a regular basis anyway. So, yeah, we're making the copies and sort of coordinating all the efforts.
Has it's been updated from this? The 1,000 and that we have in the fund doesn't work.
Correct. So if you look at the funding request on the bottom, it says staff review and recommendation. I filled that out a little prematurely. If we think back to Ordinance 2014-02, I know everyone remembers that one, the Business License Ordinance, actually, this is the flyer I remember putting together in the summer of 2014 and going around and getting businesses on board with the Business License Program. It says there's three primary reasons for this program, and one is to help ensure businesses are safe and legal. Another is to archive valuable information for emergency responders, planning and building personnel, and economic development. And then the third is to secure revenue to assist in business development and retention. So if you look at the general fund, the business revenue, the business license fee revenue that we've brought in, we have that under materials and services, which is earmarked for city improvement projects, parentheses, business. But essentially it's for things that will help support the business community here in Lapine. And we have approved $15,000 for that line item, and we've spent zero of that money year to date. From what I've heard from Ann and Dan, and the material I've reviewed that they've provided, it looks like that would be an excellent source for that business license revenue funds to go towards this program.
Any comments?
One of these days, I hope we can use one survey that answers all the questions. Just went through a branding survey that included businesses, you know, that may have asked some of the same questions. It'd be nice to have a program that you could go to and extract all that same information so we don't have to go through the same thing over and over again. Maybe that's what we need to try to draw a business like that to our community, and we wouldn't have to go through this all the time. In the application, I noticed that Sun River is mentioned. What are your goals for acquiring funding from them?
There are a few businesses that we are hoping to target that are Sun River businesses, but they're also Lapine Chamber members. I, quite frankly, didn't consider where we might go in Sun River. I know the Sun River Chamber itself has challenges with funding their efforts. So I know they don't have any money to give to the effort, and there is no city entity or government entity in Sun River to go to, like a city council. So I'm not even really clear where I would go for that. It's a good question, but I'd love to know where you might go.
Well, that's because you're saying that you're enhancing the Lapine and Sun River areas.
Well, whether we like it or not, we're really connected at the hip. You know, Lapine relies on Sun River businesses and vice versa. And particularly when it comes to lodging and that sort of thing, we're event heavy, and we have no place to put the people we invite to our community, so they stay in Sun River. So we consider ourselves close neighbors. So, yes.
I understand that. And so then, has this been taken to the, well, it used to be LED, but now it's something else, I guess. Which is a whole other subject.
And we do have a steering committee, of which Janet Burton was a member of our steering committee, as well as Kent Elliott, the exec at Sun River Chamber. So there are, it's not just me, there are other people in the community involved as far as the steering committee piece.
At like one of the organizations that you may have approached for a letter?
Anything else, Dennis?
Just that this is part of the three things that RDI came up with, beautification, branding, you know, the retention of businesses is, you know, that was the whole plan right from where go. So, you know, we've given money to branding, we've given a little money to beautification. I wish we had more time to discuss this and stuff. You know, to, you know, it was just brought on the table tonight instead of at a work session. So, you know, that's why we're doing this now, but it'd be nice to have a little bit of time to think about it, but it's sort of a no-brainer. You know, that's what we agreed to in the beginning for RDI, and we have the money set aside for that we've got to spend somehow. Whether you succeed or fail, I think we have to at least put it one step forward to assist.
Well, I think if nothing else, it's going to give the business community the overall feeling that they are being supported from the city level as well as the chamber level, and I think just knowing that helps business owners. They know that their community is behind them, and that helps them in their day-to-day. Don't you? I think you would agree, Stu, that you need to have that feeling that the community's behind you and that you have a resource, someone to go to if you have issues. This will be ongoing. RDI will have these resources forever. So somebody could come 2 years down the road and say, hey, I remember that they said they could help with such and such. And, you know, we'll have that contact. So this will be ongoing.
We'll have that data.
And we'll have
so
that,
we don't
yeah.
have to ask it again. And it also goes back to the businesses, like the city manager commented on, that they paid for the license. Here's something they're getting back for it.
For me, I just like to say that, you know, I think this is a great opportunity for the chamber, and it's really in the chamber's bailiwick to provide this kind of a service to the business community. And Stu just said it exactly. We have that responsibility to show the businesses that we're using their money to help themselves. But I would like to ask the council to consider as in a motion that at the end of this project, the chamber come back and give us a full report on how we spend our money, how well we spend our money.
Yeah.
And any further discussion? You okay? Is there a motion to approve the grant as requested based upon the funding as described by the city manager with the proviso that they come back after the program is completed and give the city council a report?
What out of the business fund?
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor? It's approved unanimously. Thank you very much.
I'll be happy to come back at any point in time and give you an update on how things are going.
Bring your partner with you.
He's pretty.
Thank you all very much.
Item number 8 on the council agenda is ordinance number 2016-08, an ordinance amending, restating, superseding, and replacing Lapine ordinance number 2008-01 in its entirety with ordinance concerns public contracting rules and procedures and declaring an emergency. Staff?
This is the ordinance we discussed last month at the work session, which first and foremost updates the original public contracting rules that were put in place in 2008. That ordinance was about 4 pages long. This ordinance with the exhibits is about 22, 23 pages long. So it's very thorough. I will not read every section. I feel like we covered the high points at the work session. I'll emphasize a couple things. By adopting this, you do say that contracts, public contracts of $20,000 or more must be approved by the city council, and contracts less than $20,000 may be entered into by the city manager without council approval. I made a note at the work session. We'll note it again that, you know, the council, as long as I'm here, will always be aware of how public funds are being spent on contracts. So I just wanted to emphasize that. And then, as I mentioned, you know, page by page, it goes through each situation, special procurements, small procurements, intermediate procurements. I won't read everything off, but like I said, this updates the old public contracting rules, changes that threshold a little bit. It makes it a little higher, and that's about the extent of the changes.
Okay. Questions?
Asked at the work session and
discussed thoroughly at the work sessions.
Is there a motion to approve ordinance number 2016-08? It's moved. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
It's a roll call vote, guys.
Martinez, aye.
Opposed? Let the record reflect it's unanimously approved. Number 9 is ordinance number 2016-09, an ordinance of the City of Lapine adopting design standards and development and construction standards for the construction of public works improvements in the City of Lapine.
So I'd like to invite the city engineer, Eric Huffman, up to the podium as I set the stage a little bit. We discussed this back at a work session in, I believe, either May or June. It's been a couple months, but the impetus for this is that, you know, with an uptick in planning and development, that also means that there's more happening with public improvements. So whether that's water lines or sidewalks or anything, A to Z, what the city does not have is a set of design standards and construction standards for these improvements. So we were finding ourselves repeating ourselves a lot, not having something to hand to developers and say, this is it. This is the standard. This is the expectation that we want to see built. And so Eric had a great idea to put these together and get this in place. I see this as a natural progression in the city adopting smart rules that will benefit it in the long run with these dollars put into public improvements. Excuse me. So we had legal draft what's called the implementing ordinance that essentially adopts these two packets that you have behind the ordinance. So I'll turn it over to Eric. He can say a little bit about that and, you know, the context. Eric's also the city engineer and sisters. And then if any of you have specific questions, I know he'd be happy to answer those as well. So.
Council, so there's two documents. One is development provisions. The other one is design standards. The development provisions basically lay out the process for the development of public infrastructure, and that'd be related to the infrastructure that goes in with a development from a developer, also the infrastructure that goes in from a city capital project. The process is mostly directed towards developers, making sure that the developer is, one, required to do certain public improvements, and then when they do construct those public improvements, that they have a bond in place before they do that work. They have a pre-construction meeting with the city before they do that work. That work is designed to meet city standard, and then when it's constructed, the infrastructure that goes in is of the right size, material, shape, and then it's also tested and inspected so that it's something worthy of city accepting it as a public improvement. And then the design standards deal with what the actual dimensions, sizes, materials, certain things are. What type of material are the pipes made out of? What type of concrete is used for construction? How thick is the asphalt in the road? How thick is the aggregate base beneath the asphalt? Those types of items. This document can expand over time. Lots more specifications could be added over time. City could come up with certain details that certain ways you want to see things done. You can add those to this document at any time. And once it's all in place, developers, designers will know exactly the process and what needs to be designed and constructed, and will lead to more orderly development of the city.
I just think this is a long time coming. I mean, it should have been done a long time ago, and the big thing is standard. We have a standard thing in effect where there's no second guessing or leaving it up to Corey, or, I mean, this is needed. And I like to tell everybody, we discuss these things at work session at length, so it's not just we're reading it and going on. But I just think it's one of the greatest things the city's done this year. That's all my comment.
I agree. It's fun to watch like the new store and dollar store come together and watch the swell construction and what they're doing with all of that. So it's necessary, and it saves the city a lot of time and money in the long run to get it done there. Thank you.
I'm not going to begin to try to understand what M equals R parentheses 1 dash COS parentheses. You engineers or something else.
Explain it real quick.
Now I'm just beginning to grasp pi in the circle. I think Councillor Scott hit it on the head. It's a long time coming. A lot of work I do know went into it. You folks at your firm putting all this together. And as Councillor Egan mentioned, everything that's going on over at the new project across the street at the store, you know, for months going to work every day, watching those guys out there with their, I don't even know what you call them. We used to call them the surveyors.
Yeah.
Site, you know, out there putting all this information together and everything to help for safe traffic flow and sidewalks and everything. Definitely what the city needs. I just want to know, is there ever going to be a time where we go retroactive with this?
No. New and or any new construction in the city, whether it's on an existing developed lot or a vacant lot that's being developed for the first time, is when we have the ability through site plan review process to impose these standards. Yeah.
Is it actually the case that the new construction on the corner over here went under, wasn't really covered by this? This was negotiations and planning meetings that that the city put together, and it's the same as with Mid-Oregon Credit Union and some of the issues that were associated with that. This wouldn't have, that would not have probably happened had it not been for the fact that they had to come back, sit down with the city, and say, this is what we're going to do. So I'm just, a nod of the head's good enough for me.
That's correct. We did request that these standards or very similar standards were implemented on those projects. In certain cases, they didn't have the teeth. We didn't have the teeth to do those, make those requests before. Some developers are more willing to work with you than others in that case.
Yep.
Now they're required. So yeah, they will, these are acceptable to you.
So we have a standard, and there would be no question about how things are done.
Construct the project without signature from Jake on the plans. So.
Okay. Perfect.
Thank you very much, Eric. Council, is there any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve ordinance number 2016-09 as presented. Been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Roll call.
Dennis Scott, aye.
Aaron Ward, aye.
Opposed? It's unanimously approved, and I agree that it's a long time in coming. Resolution number 10 is resolution number 2016-17, a resolution in support of a transportation funding package in the 2017 legislative session.
This is the slightly amended draft, and I'll point out the one change to the resolution that we saw at the work session last month. And this was really a product of the city and county administrators in the Tri-County region coming together to say, hey, what is a shared need across the region? And one thing that they identified, maybe above all else, was that there be more transportation funding, which requires a transportation package over in Salem by the legislature. So they thought, and I agreed, that it would be a good idea for, as you can see on here, all the county commissions and all the city councils in the Tri-County region to pass a shared resolution to make a statement saying that we are in support of a transportation funding package at the state level. The one change that was added, and I wasn't able to make the city county administrator meeting 3.5 weeks ago, but I talked with Scott Acock with COIC, who coordinates that, was that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, the eighth one down, it says, whereas the cities and counties of Central Oregon recognize that increased funding to meet these needs will require the development of new revenue sources. There was a point made that that should be included. Just, I think, acknowledging the fact that, to a degree, if you're funding more things, you need to take in more tax dollars. So I just wanted to point that out. That's the only change that was made from the version we saw last month.
Council? Sue? Kathy? Dennis?
No, I just want everybody to realize that this, the way it was explained to us, this protects, like, Lapine as a small city from getting entangled into something like Ben's transportation or anything else.
And let me clarify real quick. This is just a resolution that's just a statement of support. It doesn't obligate the city to anything. It's just saying that an overall, you know, billion-dollar package from the state to fund transportation is a good thing. The letter of support that we sent, that I delivered to Karen with COIC earlier this month, was regarding the change that they're trying to get at the legislature as well, but to a specific Oregon revised statute for the public transit funding here in Central Oregon. So different but connected. I just want to clarify. So.
Is there a motion to approve resolution number 2016-17A as stipulated by the city manager?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's approved unanimously. Breezing right along. A agreement with Vic Russell Construction to provide road maintenance services. Item number 11.
This is a contract between the city and Vic Russell Construction to provide grading services in mostly the Cagle neighborhood, but also a Drafter Road as well at the northern end of the city of Lapine. This contract is, other than the slight increase to the cost for each time of grading, this contract is the exact same as what we had previously. It just had lapsed. The old contract did not cover work in fall of 2016. It ended last spring. So we needed to update this. We put the project out for bid. Vic was the only person who submitted a bid, and therefore this is the contract you see before yourselves tonight.
Council discussion?
Just what was the significant increase?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'll point that out. No, it was in the old contract, I believe it. So under section 2 on page 2, it says city will pay contractor $4,750 for each segment of the work. And essentially a segment of the work is either in the fall or the spring is each a segment of the work, if you read the definition of that. In the previous contract, it had said $4,250. So it was a $500 increase. One thing to note is that in this year's fiscal budget, we did approve quite a large increase to the grading budget. And so I could see that, you know, this contract spells out a specific sum for each grading, but I could also see there's some flexibility if they came in more than once. It's a lot of it's weather and conditions dependent on monitoring the roads. And so Jake will be in constant contact with Vic and monitoring the conditions, and I'm sure hearing from the residents and trying to make all that function appropriately. So,
I think that also goes along to the fact that we learned a lesson last year in severity of weather. So that, yeah. They did too. Any further comments?
Yes, I got that question.
Yeah, this map on the back? Mm-hmm.
So that is included?
Well, this exhibit, this attachment is actually showing all the private roads in the city. So that Riley Lane is an alleyway, which is not included in the scope of this work at all. Yeah. Yeah. And this exhibit is probably... It directly mentions that no private roads will be worked upon in this contract, but this map is probably more suited for snow plowing because we're snow plowing most of the streets in the city. But this grading contract only deals with the roads in the Cagle subdivision and then Drafter. So there's actually no grading occurring in Huntington Meadows at all. Yeah.
Got it.
Good question.
Is there a motion to approve the agreement for Vic Russell Construction to provide road maintenance services? Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's approved unanimously. Item number 12 is an update of the mural grant through Arts Central.
Yeah, I'll share what I know at this time, which is that the mayor and I had a meeting with Deborah. Is it McMahon? What's her last name?
McMahon.
That's what I thought, yeah. We had a meeting with Deborah, who was the former interim executive director of Arts Central. We met with her last week, I believe, a week and a half ago. And Arts Central is no longer an entity, an organization. It's dissolved at this time. And so the mural grant that was partially funded through the city, $4,500, was sent to Arts Central in April, but also partially funded from the Arts Commission through the state to a tune of, I think, $7,500. That program and that project is no more. So the update that we had gotten, you know, 2 months ago, 3 months ago about the work that was happening, in this, would be happening in the schools and the mural that would be happening this month and next month, that is no more. So at this time, and we have not received those $4,500 back. So we as a city need to find a way to obtain those funds back first and foremost. And I think that will include, you know, possibly some a little bit of pressure through the media to an extent, I'm not sure, or also obviously through our lawyers and through those avenues as well. So that is essentially the update, is that the project is not happening and that we need to find a way to secure those $4,500 back. That's about what I know at this time. Because that's the information that I got from Deborah a week and a half ago.
And same thing. So
as I know more, I will update accordingly, obviously. But until then, that's about what I have to share, unfortunately.
Council, comments?
Don't favor doing too much in the media. I mean, no sense in, I just don't feel comfortable that the city needs to put anything in the media about wanting their money back. You know, I think proper channels behind is fine. I just don't want to see it in the media.
If I could, I agree with Stu. And these were just thoughts that you know, we ran through before. And because our avenues is really from the city attorney and connecting with the Oregon Arts Commission. There's a big article. I was going to send it to everybody tonight about this whole thing in the bulletin today. And it speaks to some of the issues around organizations that had funded programs and how they're going to get their money back, or they should be getting their money back. In other words, it's already at the bulletin level. They're doing the effort of that. It doesn't list anybody, but, and I'm sure that Oregon Arts Commission wouldn't release names and stuff like that. But I think the opportunity is through our city attorney and through the Arts Commission itself because they're big enough to make sure they get their money back. And I think we'll get ours too. So. Any further comments?
No. If we do get our money back, it'd be nice to set that aside for the same type of project. But, you know, that's further down the road. That's
agree. It's like everything else, it rolls over.
So. I won't engage then, setting something, a story in motion. And I'm good at saying no comment, and so I won't pursue that approach. I'll be working closely with Jeremy and our legal team on the letters that need to be sent and finding out the process, and I'll make sure to keep all of you informed as that plays out. So,
okay. Item number 13A is, what is the title again?
Update on SLED. Winter's coming.
Shoot.
SLED, the Sun River / Lapine Economic Development Council. So yesterday, the Lapine Economic Development Council had its annual strategic meeting. It was in Sun River, and there's been a focus on two main points here. There's been a focus on including, you know, all of South Deschutes County, sort of as Ann alluded to, that, you know, we are a region, and therefore this economic development group, and it does have members from Sun River, and Janet Burton, the area economic development manager, serves Lapine and Sun River. So the group voted to rename the group SLED, or SLED, for Sun River / Lapine Economic Development. So that's a quick update there. But more importantly, the question that we need to consider is that Janet is leaving. She has told us all of that. And she said yesterday her last day will be November 11th, so we have her for a couple more months, and she's been really good about saying she wants it to be a smooth transition, and, you know, she's got a lot of good things set in motion, so I really appreciate that. Currently, her position is funded half-time, and it's funded by partly the city and partly the county, and should be, in turn, also to a small degree, by private contributions. You know, one of the things that she said, one of the reasons she cited for wanting to leave is that she found herself consistently putting in more than 20 hours a week. And so the discussion occurred yesterday with the SLED board that that they recommend that the position be moved to three-quarters time instead of half-time. So instead of 20 hours a week, 30 hours a week. And, you know, Tony DeBone was there, Roger Lee, executive director for EDCO, was there, among others. And, you know, it's been stated that the county will contribute their $5,000 to make it a three-quarter time position. That would then require $5,000 in private contributions and $5,000 from the city above what we already contribute now to help make that a three-quarter time position. I in no way support it being moved to a full-time position, but I do see that moving it to a three-quarter time position certainly has its benefits from a few different perspectives. But I definitely wanted to update all of you on that and sort of get a sense for kind of what your thoughts are on that, because the position will be advertised in the next month, or maybe sooner if they're going to get applicants in time for that November 11th transition. So, curious, quick thoughts on that. If anyone has opinions.
You're our council member.
Unfortunately, I couldn't be there. I had appointments and then, but Janet was on the phone with me. Because we were nominating new officers and appointing new officers and picking a new name. And, I'll go along with what they decided. I wasn't in favor of it, but
the name.
But, you know, the majority rules and we'll move forward. And the position we have been discussing as a board to expand the hours for Janet's position, because as we all have been hearing for the last several months, Lapine is growing, and the inquiries that she's been taking and the research and doing more survey work has been taking more of her time. And when she took the job, it was only, you know, a quarter-time job. She wasn't looking for anything full-time. And it's gotten to the point where, you know, she was retired and she wanted to enjoy her retirement, and there's too much for her to do to enjoy her retirement. So we decided to change the position to a few more hours. So that's encouraging, but yes, it will cost the city a little more money. But I think it's well worth it.
I think it speaks well of Janet to recognize and bring forth the idea that she only wanted to do halftime and that she had other priorities in her life, and she was more than willing to carry to a certain point, and she didn't even want three-quarter time. She didn't want the money for three-quarter time. She just didn't want to do it. Because in the start it was halftime, and for me it speaks very well of her to step up and say, I think it's time.
But she is not leaving the community. She still resides in the community, and she's still going to volunteer with other organizations. And she is another person that has some good resources and is very open with the public. You know, she's a good communicator, and so I think she'll do us good in whatever volunteer position she seeks.
Council, anything?
I'd just like to say, you know, I know it's through a third of it through private donations, which probably covers a lot of the lodges in Sun River. But we did add an S onto this, which is Sun River. So the donations we're getting from Sun River, I'd like to see. I mean, I just don't want to be the city of Lapine because we're connecting with Sun River being a little bit taken advantage of. I mean, not totally, but, you know, there is a little bit there that Sun River's make sure they put in their share. That's all.
Add real quick on that point that I think the half of the funding, so really it's, 95% of the funding is split halfway between the city and the county. And then that last 5% is what's coming from private contributions. And so I think that the county share is sort of for the unincorporated greater Southern Deschutes County area, which happens to include Sun River. But your point on contributions to help fund the position is spot on.
I've got a heartburn. We fund half of it, the city, and the county funds the other half, and we don't get to say a word about Lapine ought to be first. LSED is just as good as SLED. I mean, to get the name in there that's SLED, it sounds sweet, but LSED, we should have got some say in this, because it's our, and we hold it down. Anyway, I think you get the idea.
I will pass that along to the SLED board and see if it's maybe a topic that will be brought back up.
Anybody else have that feeling?
Oh, absolutely. That's why I said the S on it is Sun River. It shouldn't be.
That's
say that again.
Sunfine, Love River.
I'm going to let you think about that. Okay. I'm going over to Karen. What about you, Karen?
Well, in that, I think that we all should pull together and work together. I mean, Sun River sits there all by its little self. Even though they have a lot of money, I guess, that we just need to pull it all together and stop saying Lapine, Sun River.
If you're playing paying the electric bill, wouldn't you want to be able to turn on the lights?
Well, of course.
So Lapine's paying the bill. I think we ought to get our name first. But I'll take.
Is that your problem?
That was
that
the question.
You want your name first?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, maybe we could negotiate that.
How do you think it should be?
I don't think it's that important. But that's just my thought. I mean, I think we're both there. But we can negotiate that. I'm sure we could.
I'm sort of looking for consensus council for city manager to take it back to them. But I think I have your feelings.
Well, we all need to work together. We all need to contribute. We all need to be a force of ourselves.
Okay. Thank you, city manager.
I'd also look for consensus on moving it from a half-time to full-time position. With them coming on towards the middle of the year, that's really only looking at half of that extra $5,000, but it would be an ongoing thing that we would need to then look at next spring for the 17-18 budget. So,
I'm thinking we ought to have a motion. I mean, a consent. We're starting to spend city money on something I don't know that we're all. I agree with Stu. We're all thinking that it's important enough and they're doing enough of a job to warrant, and we've probably known this for a long time, three-quarter work time, And so for the idea of increasing our input by $5,000, is there a motion?
So move.
Any further discussion? Okay, go for it.
Just a little, for those of me, a little history on the background of LED, which was EDCO, Lapine Industrial Group, before that. Liggy, there you go, thank you. You know, it was here before we incorporated. It was our industrial park. And there was a volunteer board that was formed underneath the county. And that board worked for, I don't know how many years. Over 16 years to put this industrial park together. And there are a lot of businesses out there now that support this community and South Deschutes County and the other community to the north, Sun River. And, you know, it's gone through a transformation just like the city's going through now, but it still is in Lapine. And yes, we are reaching out to Sun River, and when the next transformation came about to where we formed Lapine Industrial, the new LED, the new one, we decided, okay, let's reach out and include Sun River on the board. So there are spaces on the board for Sun River businesses. And granted, you know, we've been working really great together, everything's fine, but the entire organization was formed in Lapine. And when Janet sent out the application or the nominations for a new name, because this new name has been discussed for probably 4 years now, because Sun River, you know, they wanted to be a part of it. Fine. But I still go back to the point that it's still in Lapine. And Lapine is the one that contributes, along with the county, to fund the economic development position, which is upstairs in City Hall. So I think, you know, I did have heartburn over the sled because, you know, if we're not careful, it could get some rusty sleds, rails on it. We need to work together. So, you know, if the council thinks that we need to voice our concern about the name, I agree with it. I just don't want to start a feud over a name because it all means economic development for both communities, which in turn helps the other community. So, I don't know, I'm still debatable in my own personal council. I see where we do need to voice our concerns.
Thank you, Stu. You said it very well. The history is all there. And another aspect that I've just been thinking about is, you know, it looks to me, if this goes out in the world, sled, it would look to me like this rich partner to the north is dragging the little old town of Lapine behind them and gave, let them have part of the name of Sun River Lapine. It would be common sense to think that Sun River is the big dog. And they're including Lapine in the name. Because in a year from now, people won't remember the name LED. They'll just know that it's SLED. So I have a strong opinion about it. I think it ought to be Lapine SED or LSED. It's just rolls off your tongue just as well as SLED does. It's just,
what was the other South?
It was the other one I think that got second was SCED, South County Economic Development. And so
that's the one I voted for, and I'm on the board.
I like that. I like that. Council, what do you think?
Okay. I totally agree with that. I think it ought to be South County. I happened to go with Corey to that meeting, you know, and I just shut my mouth because I wasn't on the board or anything. But South County sounds great. The stats that they put out, a good amount of those stats, like the job increases, everything else, is all Sun River. So they're getting a major, support out of this whole thing. Yes, please.
Don't forget that this is rated sector. This is not local jobs. I mean, it's not like Safeway coming in and doing new jobs. This is strictly safe, traded sector recruiting and economic development.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. It's just that my concern, and I haven't been part of the group, so I don't even know, I'm trusting Stu and you and Corey that's been to the group, is that Sun River actually puts in their share of funds for it. That's the only thing I'm concerned about. They don't have a city. They don't contribute like we do. That's my only concern. And I'm sure they do through, private donations and stuff.
I'm not sure they do. They do in the contribution of the membership. And there are board members that are on the board. And so
I mean, anybody in this room can become a member of LED.
So I would suggest everyone go.
$100 minimum?
Yeah. Be a part of it. Get a voice.
Make yourself a Christmas present. Aaron, what do you think? SLED or South County Economic Development?
I like South County Economic Development.
I think
that
we have.
That way nobody's upset.
It's not necessarily bad to have people upset.
And if I can add one thing, aside from the name, but I will relay that back to the group and to Janet tomorrow. And it's good for me to hear a little bit of the history because it is important to remember the history. But this position will always be, their home base will always be upstairs here because the sole focus is, like you said, Mr. Mayor, is traded sector jobs. So that's like manufacturing, things that are made here in Lapine but shipped and sent somewhere else, whether it's fishing lures or wood products or you name it, it's traded sector stuff. And we, as a community, are, I will say, the best positioned community in Central Oregon with the industrial land that we have right across the way over there. And Sun River does not have that. And I will say, not to defend Sun River, but there's Sun River Resort, which is one thing, and then there's kind of the community of Sun River, like the Sun River Business Park. And that's really the only little area in Sun River that traded sector businesses, would or could go into. So the sole focus then, now, and in the future will be the Lapine Industrial Park. So I just wanted to underscore that point.
I add, Lapine is the originator of the Enterprise Zone, which Sun River is benefiting from Lapine. So, it's when Lapine Incorporated, it opened the door for Sun River to qualify as an enterprise zone. We are the reason Bend has an enterprise zone, is because of Lapine. So, darn it. Okay, I better just be quiet.
No, you don't have to, but I think we've made it strong enough that, and I don't suppose we're going to tie a funding thing, a name to the funding stream. Is there a motion to approve the $5,000 increase in the economic development team, group that we currently fund?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimously approved to add $5,000 to their to the city's contribution. Okay. We now come back to public comment. And I apologize to those in the earlier that I didn't go to that when the fire department finished, but this is a better time anyway.
Don Greiner, I live at Crescent Creek, and I sent all of you a letter the first of this month regarding a area that needs some attention between Memorial Lane and the Crescent Creek subdivision. At our Crescent Creek Homeowners Association meeting, there was a strong concern about that property being a hazard to both Crescent Creek and actually any place else if there happens to be a fire in that area. Now, the letter that I sent didn't just come from me, because before I sent it to the Homeowners Association and got their approval, and they said, go ahead and send it. So we've had some of our members of the Homeowners Association that ride bicycles around that area, and they say that they see teenagers over there smoking in that area. That area is tinder dry. Have any of you ever driven by? Have you been by? Have you seen the area and how messy it looks? It's not really good. It's actually a hazard. It's a hazard to the community. And I got an email from the city manager that seemed to think that it wasn't anything the city should become involved in. But in my opinion, you're the city council. You run the community. And if you see a hazard, it seems to me like you should be looking some way to mitigate the hazard to the rest of the community. And what I'm asking is that you look into it, see what's necessary, maybe to get it thinned out so that there's less danger of fire. Because I tell you, if that area catches on fire, and there's some of the winds that we've had in the last week or so, the embers from that area will go right in to Crescent Creek, and there's a good possibility that there could be damages to homes and property in that area. So I'm respectfully requesting the city look into it and try to do something about it, because Crescent Creek would like to file an official complaint and see that or ask that something be done. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Don.
Mr. Mayor, if I could, real quick. I responded to Don on last Friday, the 9th, and I said, Don, thanks for the letter concerning the fuel buildup on the property adjacent to Crescent Creek. I'll review our ordinances and see if anything pertains to fire mitigation and or fuel reduction. I asked, have you mentioned this to the fire district? I'm not sure if they have a program that assists with this type of fire prevention. Best, Corey. I've not had a time to thoroughly review our ordinances yet, but I can look further into that. So.
Well, I got comments. That's private land. There is no, as far as I remember or recall, any way that the city could, on behalf of a horse association who has the power and the means and the ways of looking into the legal aspects of that fire danger without coming to the city. I don't believe it's the city's responsibility. I don't know how we could expend money or time, staff time, to sort this out. I mean, if the association wants, if the Crescent Creek Association wants to do something about it, they can go to the fire department. They can round up the people who have some kind of authority, and or approach the home of the property owner themselves. And they can obtain the name of the property owner by going to the dial system on the county. So I think it's sort of like it used to be in corporate world that when you give somebody an issue and they said, oh, yeah, I'll take care of that, we called it passing the monkey. You no longer had a responsibility. The monkeys, the guy that's got the monkeys going to take care of it. So I don't think it's a city responsibility to go out on behalf of a public organization, a private organization, I'll say, and determine a solution for a problem like this.
I say something,
Ken? Sure, I'm done.
Crescent Creek isn't the only community has that problem. You drive through Cagle Road and you'll see just as much timber and stuff. But to solve the problem, I mean, and I'm sorry for not knowing, but there was a lady that presented a program here. Do you know who I'm talking about, Corey? I don't remember the organization or who.
Firewise program.
Yeah. And that's sort of what she insinuated that she would, her group would do. So maybe we could steer her into that direction.
That's all public property, public property and no private property.
There are
some funds in that
programs, yeah.
For that, but
well,
but
let's just look into it.
I can pass along her contact information. I haven't talked to her for probably 4 or 5 months, but I know who you're referring to, and I know the program, and it usually happens at different points, probably not this fall now, but probably in the spring. I know they do have programs that help with property owners to help reduce ladder fuels and fire hazards, so I can certainly pass that along.
I think passing that to the Don Greiner and his association would help them tremendously. Kathy, comment?
Well, that was my question, was who owned the land, and I do understand. I live in Huntington Meadows, which is also called the wrong side of 97, so we have those issues also, and it's frightening. There's a lot of junk back there on private land and BLM land, and you just don't know what'll happen if something gets going. So I understand it's an issue. I think that's a great idea to get a contact from Firewise. Start that, if not with the fire department. See what they have to say and go from there. I'd be interested to see what you come up with, though, also.
Well, I appreciate your letter, Don. I did read it. And I think whenever an issue of safety for the whole community comes before the council, we need to listen to it. And then if there's a small, because I don't believe it is a city's responsibility to go out and take care of the problem itself. We have to check our ordinances to see what we can do legally. But I think right now the best advice that you can get is what the city manager is suggesting, is he'll get a contact number. You can also go on to Deschutes County's website, the Solid Waste Department under Fire Free Program, and you'll find the information there.
Okay, we are now at any further public comment?
Dan Varco here. Just a quick point of clarification. When you talked about Arch Central a while ago, the interim director is actually Deborah Allen. Deborah McMahon, who's a Redmond city planner.
Oh, that's the name.
Thank you.
Now I'm putting two and two together. It's been a long day.
Whoops.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Deborah Allen, for the record.
Any further public comment? Hearing none, we'll go to staff comments.
A list of a few things I'll run through here pretty quick. November 16th, it's the third Wednesday in November. I know this is a couple months out, but I spoke with John Gilarducci, who's from FCS Group, who came down to talk about the water and sewer SDCs, and we talked about that in the summer, and we have him for a few months. He's going to be back down on November 16th, so essentially what I'm saying is, instead of having a work session the night before Thanksgiving and a meeting earlier on the second Wednesday in November, we'll move it to the 16th unless I hear any objections, and we'll have a work session probably earlier, maybe at 4:30 or 5, and then we'll have a regular session following that. So that's a quick update, and I'll send that out via email, and if there's any comments in the meantime, you can let me know.
So you're saying that we would have a work session and a regular session?
Yes.
For the whole month instead of having...
Correct.
That's wonderful.
On one day, the 16th.
That's wonderful. I'll be in Hawaii.
Okay. we'll phone you in. No, I'm just kidding. If only if you want to.
Island.
We're going to Maui first.
About a week, and then go to Oahu and stay in Kailua. So anyway, anything else?
We'll have to reschedule the Planning Commission meeting. Sorry. Likely on the Tuesday, that Tuesday, the 15th. But I'll make sure to coordinate with Planning Commission members and do that well in advance. And this is November I'm talking about, so I know it's a couple months from now. Just because League of Oregon Cities Conference is 2 weeks from now, this is the latest edition they sent out. And remember we discussed the priorities that we wanted to chip in as one of the 242 cities in Oregon? Well, two of the ones we selected, recreational immunity and transportation funding, made the cut. And not surprisingly, PERS reform did as well, but that doesn't impact us. And then the other one was property tax reform, and because that's the largest source that cities get their tax revenue from, it's property taxes. So I just wanted to share those legislative priorities that made the cut. Next week, I will be meeting with the landscape architects out here in front of City Hall to talk about the first kind of walkthrough of a monument sign, welcome sign, all that kind of stuff. So more to come on that, but I'm starting to think ahead into winter and ultimately into probably what would be a spring project that we budgeted for, but got them coming down next week. Had a conference call with the website, should have a new conceptual image to show you maybe at the work session 2 weeks from now, to give you a sense of what the new website will look like. Staff's been working on updating letterhead and the signs we already have and ODOT signs and just trying to get that whole, vehicles and trying to get all that implemented. So that's moving along, and you'll see more of that as time goes by. Three of you were able to make it to the affordable housing tour with Housing Works up in Bend a week and a half ago, and I thought that was very, very good. Tom Kemper, the executive director, took us to four, if not five, of their projects, gave us a good sense of sort of what the expectation would be for the project that could happen here if they secure those funds in the next couple months. Council wants to comment on that in the council comments. Just wanted to mention that. We've been having meetings with COIC, Central Oregon Intergovernmental Council, that runs the Cascade East Transit System, the public transportation system in the region, and also with ODOT regarding the 4th Street property. And I should have an update for you at the work session sort of on what the concept for that site, roughly speaking, will look like. Where will parking be, where will stormwater be, where will bus shelters be, where will buses pull in, that type of stuff, to get a sense for how much of that property is best utilized in the short term and in the long term for a public facility, for a transit center. So you'll hear more about that at the work session later this month. And I think that's it for me, but I can't speak for other staff.
Okay. Council?
Fair housing. That was exciting. It's beautiful. The apartments are wonderful. They look to so much detail, and I noticed everything from the windows that were in there. I don't know if it'll be consistent with washers and dryers and that type of thing in each apartment. So that was fun. And to sound like a parrot, I think Eric might be working on this, but the swale at the light, when I look at what they're doing over here with the rocks and the plants going in, that's gorgeous. So something that's low maintenance and looks as nice as that does would be wonderful to have as you come into town. And that's it.
Can I comment on that? When I went to the air show, and I think you were there too, Corey, when you go off of of 97, and you go into the airport, if you look, if you looked off to the right, there were two giant swales. One of them was laid with large river rocks, the whole thing. And then another one was laid with some rock and some bushes up around the top, you know, in sort of a scallop. It was beautiful. I meant to stop and take pictures and bring them back, but I agree with Kathy. We need to do something about that hole in the ground.
I'll comment on just that topic right now is that maybe we ought to start thinking about with the planning board putting something in our design standards. Because everything we build, there's going to be more swales than just the couple swales we have. You know, like, and we don't run on, you don't want to run into this, how we're going to, you know, landscape swales. I mean, it's just something to think about, I guess, you know, because there's going to be more of them. I mean, we don't have a stormwater sewer system. I mean, so there's going to be swales. That's just throwing that out there.
Priorities, if we're talking swales and the fire district doing this and everything, and I'm going to bring it up at every meeting until it gets done, is our flag. We still don't have a flagpole because I need one at home, and I'm going to have to take mine that I donated 2 years ago out here. So I have a flag at home. So I'm bringing that up at every meeting until we can get it done.
Well, I have a suggestion.
Well, let me clarify when I said that the landscape architect would be down to talk about the monument sign complex thing, and I'm not a landscape architect, so I don't know what ideas he'll have, but the part of that will be like what you see in other cities. Matters is a great example, where it's all incorporated into one. You have the flags, you have the sign, you have landscaping. You have, it's all designed, and that's what a landscape architect can do, is can look at, okay, we've got this space to work with, this is the best way to maximize what you've got and what you want. And so he's coming down next week, and that'll be, again, the first, I just talked to him on the phone today, we scheduled time,
let me know
9 o'clock
is,
Thursday. You want to be here? Okay, I'll let you know. And okay, well, I'll give an update. I'll let you know when it is, and if you want to be here, you're more than welcome. And that is what that conversation is starting, is the design for that project, which will include flagpoles, poles, plural.
Right.
So, good points.
Any further comments? Hearing none, motion to adjourn. I have none.
So moved.
We're adjourned.
Awesome. I can eat a cookie.